The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for professional medical advice. Sweaty and pissed, sweaty and pissed.
Menopause makes me sweaty and pissed. Hello.
Hi, Leanne.
Hello, everybody. It's Sweaty and Pissed, Menopause and More.
Yes, it is. Here we are again.
And I'm Leanne Morgan, comedian and patient. And this is...
Karen Nickel, nurse practitioner.
And opera singer.
And opera singer.
And mother.
Mother Forrest, our producer.
And Tiny Ankles.
Yes.
Okay, we've talked about all kinds of things in our last few episodes, yep. But... we want to talk about breast cancer awareness and all the things that go with that, yeah. Because we just
finished Breast Cancer Awareness Month
in October.
And so we thought, wouldn't it be good for us to remind everybody that we need to be aware all the time?
All the time. Because I don't know about you, but, well, you're doctoring people, but I can throw a rock and I know 10 people that's had breast cancer.
Yeah, it's pretty common. You know, I think the screening people getting screening has gone up in numbers quite a bit. I think more and more people are getting screening. So I think they're catching more breast cancers. But, you know, but there are some organizations like the American Academy of Family Physicians and American Cancer Society who are looked at the frequency of having mammography done. And especially after 55, they've been recommending maybe even going to every two years just to avoid unnecessary procedures and unnecessary testing. But current guidelines are still annually.
Well, how do you feel about that?
Well, I agree that I think there are more tests being done, more biopsies being done, because we're getting screening more frequently, or we're getting it annually. So they look at the numbers needed to treat, you know, to how cost effective or beneficial is a test based on how many cancers we find, for instance. And if you have to do 1,000 mammograms, and I'm just throwing out numbers, but 1,000 mammograms for one to catch one cancer versus 10 mammograms to catch one cancer, then that's not as cost effective and beneficial for the female to do that. So that's what those are the numbers they're looking at, is the numbers needed to treat. And and they're just seeing, for the number of the frequency of the mammogram, we don't get additional benefit in terms of catching those cancers. So, and there are early cancers like DCIS that technically you could have watchful waiting on certain types of DCIS.
What is DCIS?
Ductal carcinoma in situ. So it means it's a cancer in the duct, but it's staying in the duct. It's in situ means it hasn't spread beyond that.
Okay.
Beyond that duct. But most of the time people do at least a lumpectomy to remove it. People are a little nervous about watchful waiting, but a good portion of the time, a DCIS will resolve on its own. So anyway, that's why there's some debate about the frequency of mammography. But it is an important screening test. If your insurance doesn't cover it well, hopefully it does, but if your insurance doesn't cover it well, or you don't have insurance, or you have insurance as a big deductible and they don't cover wellness exams, There are ways to get a mammogram either at no cost or inexpensively. You know, there's some, I think one of our breast centers here has a mobile unit, and I think it's 1 or 2 days a year they provide free mammograms. There is a website called MD Save. M as in Mary, D as in dog, save.com. And you can purchase testing on that website. And I think during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, you can get a mammogram for $88.
Oh.
Yeah. So there are ways to do it cost effectively or even for free. You just have to be a little proactive in finding those places or going to a website like MD Save and purchasing it at a reduced price. So
now there's and I'm just saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, okay. I don't know medical, but there is like a genetic thing. Mm-hmm. And then there's, environmental, what would you call it?
Yeah, environmental.
Environmental. And so the environmental are those things that we can do to keep from our chances of going up to get breast cancer.
Right.
And they would be, I would think, weight gain if we've got a too high of a BMI.
That's right.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And what else, my darling?
So, well, let me just back up one little step to the genetic factor. So a lot of people may know about BRCA, the BRCA gene. We have BRCA 1 and 2. And we don't screen for those genetic predispositions or those genetic variants. But those will often be done after someone's diagnosed with breast cancer to maybe help other family members and see if other family members need to be tested. And also, if you have breast cancer and you have a BRCA gene, you have an increased risk for ovarian cancer. So then the decision making has to happen whether you want to have your ovaries out or removed surgically, in other words. And the genetic testing helps in that way. Mm-hmm. In terms of risk reduction, you're right. Being overweight increases your risk. Smoking increases your risk. You know, if you live in an area where there's a lot of environmental pollution, or you work in a place that has a lot of, you know, where you're exposed to a lot of chemicals, those things can increase your risk. Sometimes, I tell women to try to avoid extra estrogenic things that can stimulate breast tissue, like, avoid eating meat and milk that's not organic. If it's mm-hmm. not organic, it could have been processed they give them animals hormones to sort of fatten them up. And so you want to have hormone-free meat and milk. You want to, I tell my patients also to avoid mineral oil products, mm-hmm. Petroleum products on their skin, because those act like estrogens in your body. They're called xenoestrogens. And so, you know, use a moisturizer or lotion that does not have mineral oil or petroleum in it, or petroleum-based product in it. Avoid heating your food in plastic in the microwave, because the plastics can leach xenoestrogen into your food. A clear water bottle if light goes through it, that can leach xenoestrogen into the water from the plastic. So those are some just little everyday things that you can do to help reduce risk. Exercising regularly, eating a healthy diet, and by healthy I mean as much whole food
fruits
as
and
possible,
vegetables.
You know, versus processed foods. The more you can.
What about stress?
Well, stress. Stress.
I mean,
is a
everybody
biggie.
Needs to be working on their stress, don't yeah. they? So doing mindfulness, prayer, yeah. whether it's prayer, meditation,
yoga.
Yeah, relaxing, breathing. There's so many apps now.
Oh, yeah.
Like on my Fitbit, if I press, run, stop, watch, relax for 2 minutes, I can tell such a big difference in myself when I take time to breathe. Yeah. And since my mom's been in Vanderbilt, they have told her, breathe, take in big breaths and breathe in and then blow out your mouth like you're, when they smell the roses. Blow out the candles. Smell yes. the roses. Blow out the candles.
Right. Yeah. People don't do deep breathing. When I, on an exam, when I listen to people's lungs, I'm telling you, a lot of the time they're dizzy after they've.
Oh my Lord. What can we do for that?
Because they are not used to deep breathing.
Breathing. Oh, yeah. Murder.
Well, especially women. Women tend to be shallow breathers. They, you know, just sort of breathe in their upper chest area. They don't let that diaphragm really drop and let the air really fill the lungs all the way to the bottom. Sort of think of it like a ball drop. The air is a ball dropping down to your diaphragm so that you're, because when you watch a baby breathe, their abdomen moves. It's not their chest moving. Their abdomen moves when they're breathing.
Oh.
And or when you watch a cat or a dog, I guess dog.
Yeah.
I looked at cat. Dogs too. But anyway, you see their abdomen moving when they breathe, not their chest. Because the breathing is just the diaphragm dropping down. And that dropping of the diaphragm makes the abdomen poke out.
Yeah. You know, like, I was raised in a rural area, and my mom and daddy still don't. They have internet, but we didn't get cable until, everybody had cable. I didn't know what cable was until I went to college. Mm. That's how rural. But it's outside of Nashville.
Yeah.
But it's just in a rural community. But now they have, of course they have internet, but they don't have the broad bandwidth or whatever to have Netflix on their smart TV. But what I was going to say was, even people that don't have access to a yoga studio or something like that, you can watch it on YouTube on your phone.
Oh, yeah. They're really great. Know, yeah, and, you're right.
And people, and especially with sitting and watching my mom sick, like you realize how much you need to take care of yourself. This is one shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've been preaching to me this for years, but you're sitting here thin as a, but she does, let me tell everybody, she does body pump and body combat and like 2 or 3 classes in a row. Yeah. But it's probably kept you from losing your mind, having to tend to all these people like me, that sometimes is not compliant and forgets to put my vitamin D under my tongue. And I'm like, why am I swelling? Oh, I didn't take my spironolactone or whatever. So, but really, it's important to exercise and keep your mind clear and relieve the stress of every day. And in our environment, there's so much going on. Everybody's on the phone and nobody's talking and nobody's connecting. And, I don't mean to get on the whole thing, but it is.
Yeah. Well, and also sleep. We, people don't sleep well or they have untreated sleep apnea. Getting a good night's sleep is also key for your keeping a healthy immune system, because a healthy immune system is what destroys abnormal cells, seeks out, destroys abnormal cells. And so that's how our body's designed to stop cancer, but you got to give it a chance to do it. You've got to support your body so it can seek out an abnormal cell and destroy it before it becomes an abnormal mass. And but we
don't
do so many things that work against that. Our diet, our lack of exercise, our poor sleep. So our stress and inability to reduce stress.
Well, I have a good friend that was diagnosed with breast cancer a couple of years ago, and she went through chemo, radiation, double mastectomy, all of it. She's doing great.
Good.
But her doctor said, you really need to watch your weight, because she's on, that estrogen
like anastrozole
blocker.
Like Arimidex or tamoxifen.
And he said, you really need to watch your weight. And also, he said, really watch the sugar. That sugar feeds cancer.
Well, yeah, it stimulates all cell growth. So, yeah, it's... Well, and the weight, part of the weight issue is that, you know, our fat cells make estrogen. So, you know, we have a lot more estrogen secretion if we have a lot more fat cells. So... Yeah.
Oh. Well, I'm really
That just depressed Leanne.
Well, and I've got these big old implants from after I had three babies and nursed them, and my nipple was hanging by a thread, and I was young, and I had more life left in me. And I remember folding them up to put them in my bra. And I remember being... We lived in South Carolina, and we were visiting this little Methodist church, and I was so lonely, and we had moved there, and I had two babies, and I didn't know I was pregnant with the third one yet, and I had on a little turtleneck, and we were standing up to sing a hymn, and I had on a little bra, and my breast had atrophied and sunken in so much from nursing three babies that my bra came up over my breast and it was like two cones, a padded bra under my turtleneck, around my neck. They were on my collarbone. And I thought then, I mean, I've got to do something. And then I got pregnant with a third baby, nursed her till she was 10 months old. And I remember my mama saw me without a top on, and she goes, "Oh, my baby." Because I said I want implants, and my dad was like, "You don't need that." And then Mama said, "Jim, she needs to need them." And that was in 90, I don't even know, what was that? Maybe, wait, that baby was born in 98, so probably around 2000. She was born in 98. And so, I was young. I had life left in me. And at that time, the trend was to have not big Pamela Anderson, kind of, but not the, like now if somebody gets them, they get them smaller and you want to look fit and thin. Well, back then, I mean, I remember my doctor looked at me and goes, "You got a big frame," because I'm 5'8". And he was like, "Well, you need a D." Well, of course, a man, you know, says that to you. They're like a big... big C, small D. Oh, my gosh. Now, with, you know, weight and estrogen, I don't know what all, I go into Soma, and they're like, "You're a double D." What? You know, I'm like, what? It's awful. And I look at myself in a mirror, like I'll go by a store or something, and I'll see my reflection. I think, oh, bless her heart. Look at that big woman. It's me. My breast, you can put a glass of water on the side of my breast and hold it. So, I remember my sister going, "You better not get implants, you're going to get cancer." But that doesn't necessarily, I mean, I've never had any trouble, knock on wood, praise God. Yeah. I've never had anything. I know there was a scare that these textured implants lately, but I don't have textured.
I think that's pretty unusual. I think those were mostly used in Europe. I don't think they used them here very much.
Well, mine are way overdue. Whatever happens.
Well, you know,
it's
interesting because there are plastic surgeons who now specialize in explants, where they're taking out women's implants and sometimes not replacing them.
Well, you remember you and I talked about this, and you said back then, you go, "I don't know. I mean, you might have to have, I mean, there may not be, well, or something in there because it's going to be so..." Or maybe it was at the time my gynecologist. She was like, "I don't know." But you said there, you thought I could go and talk to somebody maybe to see.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, I'm still young. I'm 53 years old, but I still got to do it. So I don't, I don't know what I would do, but I maybe could go smaller.
Well, it would be good to just get your, you know, see what your options are. You know, probably they would encourage a lift. If you took the implants out completely and didn't replace them, they probably would encourage a lift.
Because my nipple is still above my crease. But, which if your nipple's not above your crease, if you're looking at getting implants, they say, oh, you need an implant and a lift.
Yeah.
But praise God, I've always had a nipple above the crease. So, and I think they would still be. Now, it might look like a deflated, I don't know what. But I know that now that baby is 21, and I got them when she was probably 18 months or.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're past if there's an expiration date or something. And I know if I go to Chuck, he'll be like, you're always wanting something, which I haven't. It's just been the one thing. Or my veins fixed.
Yeah.
You know. And but anyway, I don't know what I'm going to do about that. I've got too many other irons in the fire right now to worry about my breasts. But I have not ever had any problems with them, with like breast cancer or mm-hmm. anything like that, thank the Lord. Mm-hmm. But I know that they just do an extra picture.
Yeah. They just have to do a little bit different positional imaging to get that tissue underneath the implant.
Yeah. And mine are beneath the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And I nursed three, you know, another baby. Well, no, wait, did I nurse anybody afterwards? No, but I thought if I do have another baby.
Like a random person?
Well, I just stayed pregnant for years and I kept thinking, oh, I wanted a fourth baby really badly. So I thought I wanted them under the muscle so I could nurse another baby if I needed to.
Oh,
but,
I see.
But I didn't get a chance to nurse another baby. I would have loved a fourth baby. Can you imagine if I had like a 15-year-old right now? Oh, darling. Anyway, nope. I'll just be a grandmama sometime
there
soon,
you go.
Probably. But okay. But is there anything else you want to touch on for Breast Cancer Awareness Month? Or?
Well, monthly self-breast exam I don't know the exact percentage. I should look that up, but you know, a high number. I think most breast cancers are found on self breast exam. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So checking, and I know people oftentimes say, "Yeah, but my breast tissue is so lumpy. I don't know what's going on there." I say to my patients, just do the exam so that you know what your normal is. It may be soft and lumpy, but you're looking for something that isn't your normal. Because it's usually, with breast cancer, it's usually that lump is different than the soft and lumpy.
Have I read itching? There can be itching.
Some people can have itching. Sometimes you can have dimpling in the skin where the skin like pulls in like, yes. Like on an orange peel,
mm-hmm.
You can have your nipple if it's out and then it inverts. That needs to be looked at immediately. Any redness, any tenderness that persists more than, you know, 1 or 2 weeks, that needs to be checked out. Any discharge
of the nipple, okay.
Especially if there's like a brownish or bloody discharge.
Mm.
Certainly if you feel a lump in the armpit, that needs to get checked out.
I do know that doing comedy for breast cancer for 20 years, that I have had, it's been very encouraging. When I go and do these things, the people that put these vents on that work with breast cancer patients all the time, they say there's more and more survivors. Like if I do a survivor luncheon or a big event at night, they'll say all the survivors stand, like, you know, 5 years, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
There are 90-something-year-old women standing up.
Yeah.
It is getting better and better. They're finding more. They're able to heal and take care of people more and more every year. It's very encouraging.
It is
when
encouraging.
You go to those.
Yeah, it is. And that's, because some people won't get checked out because they're thinking, I don't want to find out if I have cancer. Well, if you find out, we can do something about it. So, and you're right, the survival rates are much improved.
Oh, and remember a couple of years ago, I had gotten a mammogram and then now the place that I go to has 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So you like for people to have mm-hmm. a 3D mm-hmm. mammogram. And most everybody's getting that
think,
now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think most facilities offer it. And I, you know, I know my the practice I'm in, our ancillary offers a 2D mammo still because some insurances won't pay for the 3D. But you know, our practice offers for a $75 fee, you can do the additional 3D mammography if your insurance doesn't cover it. So most facilities, I think, will have a fairly nominal fee if you want to get the 3D and your insurance doesn't cover it.
Okay.
Yeah, it gives a lot more definition. We're what I'm seeing just clinically, and I don't know the statistics, but I know in my practice, I'm seeing less need for additional ultrasound imaging because they can see the images are so much better on the 3D mammography. Because with a 2D mammography, people were getting called back all the time for an ultrasound all the time. It seems like that's happening less with the 3D.
Oh, that's good.
So that's good.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Is there anything else, Miss Smarty?
I don't know anything else that you learned in all your
I go to all these
your
events.
No,
I
do. You probably have every tip there is.
I do hear a lot.
Yeah.
I do. And I also see precious women. To me, there's no funner audience than a bunch of breast cancer survivors. Because
yeah.
And ovarian. Once you've been through something bad like that, you know what's important in this world.
Yep.
And you find out who your friends are.
Mm-hmm.
And you want fun people around you. You don't want to be around buttholes. And there's some butthole people out there. And you find out, you know, what life is about and uh-huh. how to live it. And, you know, and you celebrate every day. And so you're talking about a fun bunch of women. You could get up and go boogity, boogity, boo, and they go nuts. But there, I've gone to so many breast cancer events where they'll have a lot of vendors there, like you know, like wigs and bras and mastectomy bras mm-hmm. and, you know, and all that. And it's just, I don't know, it's uplifting, it's sweet, mm-hmm. it's a sweet community.
That's great.
I know. I used to look good in pink before I got rosacea, but I can still do splashes of it. I go on the breast cancer walks with my friend that is a survivor.
Yeah.
So, I love October. You know, I was born in October. And I love Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Well, I'm sure they love you at those events.
I hope you're fabulous. I hope I lift up people. They sure lift me up.
Speaking of events.
Oh, goodness gracious. So, oh, goodness. By this time, okay, let me see. Where am I going to be? I'm alone. I have to remind myself. Okay, so
like November, December.
Okay, you can catch me at. I know I've said how many times have I said this Wisconsin, and y'all have had to tell me the name.
Waukesha,
and then I'll be at a breast cancer event in Knoxville, Tennessee that I think they're selling tickets to. All this you can find on my website, leahmorgan.com, and also Phoenix, Arizona, Austin, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, and Morgantown, North Carolina in the 2020. And, what else is in 2020? West Palm Beach.
Oh, nice. Let's go to that one.
I know. And I'm doing on Mackinac Island again. I'm going back up to Mackinac Island. In 2020 for a marriage retreat, a big marriage conference where I do a bit on the five love languages. And the man who wrote that, Gary Chapman, is going to be speaking at that. So I'm really excited because Jim Gaffigan just had a comedy special out called Quality Time. So if you have not read the five love languages, honey, you've got to read it. Yeah. It is so wonderful. But anyway.
We got to do an episode on that.
Yes. And how mine are not fed. Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about it in a previous episode, but I don't know if we did the whole, went all through all the languages and.
Yeah. And you know, there's a book on your children. So Sweet Forest has a love language. And when y'all find out what his love language is, you can feed that. Cause I think Maggie's has got to be words of affirmation. She doesn't care a thing in the world about gifts. She's not driven by money. But she, I mean, she works for a nonprofit, Make-A-Wish. So,
it's
but
a perfect
you,
fit.
But I buy her earrings or, you know, and they end up in the bottom of her car. I mean, she does not care about stuff.
Yeah.
She doesn't care about gifts. She just wants to be with you and that, you know.
Yeah.
And then my baby is very bougie. She likes gifts. She likes stuff.
She likes a good eyeliner.
She loves a good eyeliner, loves a purse. And then Charlie, I don't know. I need to find out what, maybe it might be acts of service for him. That's what Chuck Morgan's is. If my husband, if I bake a Duncan Hines cake mix, honey, it doesn't have to be, if the something's cooking in an oven and it smells like bleach and I vacuumed out my own car, he wants to cry. If one time Charlie and I did the garage and got it organized and cleaned it and swept it out. And I mean, I literally teared up. And I thought, I know, this is so terrible that we don't pay attention to.
I know.
But everybody's busy and he's anal retentive. So anyway, he is his acts of service. Mine is words of affirmation, which is not hard. Yeah. I mean, it's really not hard. Yeah. All you have to say, you're funny, you're pretty, you're a good mommy.
And you're all those things.
Thank you. I feel like you are. And, you know, that fills my love tank. Yeah. Well, that's all a little, just a word, you know. But
so
for
easy.
Him.
I said, Forrest, you have to take that test.
We need to find out what Forrest's is.
And then we'll find out that
I've been a
crummy mom for 27 years.
I don't know for sure. I haven't taken a test.
You can take it online now. You don't even have to get the book.
What do you think it is?
I feel like probably acts of service.
Acts of service when somebody does something for you. You're not one of those men that has to have quality time where you sit and watch, I don't know, a documentary and you've just got to have her sitting there with you.
No.
Okay, because there's some women, you know, that you got to sit and watch ESPN or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need time with, I don't, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's so true.
Yeah.
And then physical touch, you know, people that just want to hug and kiss and do, and that physical touch is their love language.
Well, maybe Andy and I should sign up for that conference.
Well, I'm telling you that Chuck Morgan and I should go. There's all kinds of, you know, that are not like you're about to get a divorce. It's not that.
No,
something that enhances So the people that have hired me to do that were talking about oxytocin. When a man listens to his wife, she gets a rush of that
oxytocin.
Like when you nursed and
we're so easy.
Yeah. And when a man, guess when they release theirs? Right after, you know what? So they're trying to tell people, if you'll just listen to your wife, she'll be tickled, she'll do it. Then you can have your release of oxytocin. You know, but if you don't listen to your wife and you ignore her, she's not in the mood. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
But they give you all those kind of little tips and communication and all that. So anyway, I'm the entertainment
of
that weekend.
Fantastic.
But they're going to have certain speakers come and talk about all these different things. But
nice.
That's not till October 2, 2020.
2020.
But it's in Mackinac Island.
Hopefully Andy and I'll still be married by then.
Well, I don't know if I'll be married to Chuck if he doesn't start telling me I'm pretty. And you know, a woman needs to hear that she's pretty when she's going through freaking menopause.
Yeah, no kidding.
When you're sweaty and pissed. All right, on that note, thanks everybody for listening.
Yes, thanks for listening. And make sure to get your mammogram and do self-breast exam every month.
Yes, and go to Sweaty and Pissed on Facebook and like our page and you'll find out more information.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sweaty and pissed. Sweaty and pissed. Menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.